pray. Father, we do celebrate a living God. You know, Lord, we're not hopeful Jesus is alive because he is alive. And God, that's an amen kind of experience. Amen. May it be so, because it is so. Lord, I pray that it would be so in our hearts, though. That it would be so in our lives. It'd be so in our speech and our thoughts. God, as we gather for these next very few brief moments, Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. But speak. Move, Spirit of God. We bless you. We honor you, Heavenly Father. We do join the masses around the world this morning saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There he is. None other. There never will be. But you are from the beginning and the end. Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You're worthy of all praise. And that's a truth. That's a reality. We may have struggled with it, but it is a fact. You're worthy of all praise. And we choose to bow the knee today in humility. We need you. We cry out to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Got a question for you by show of hands this morning real quick. Who here has flown on commercial airlines? Wow, pretty good. Who here, when you've flown on commercial airlines, have you ever been stuck in the middle seat between two people? Okay. Have you ever been stuck in the middle seat between two people with one of them holding a dog? Dusty and I are the only two. Whoever's flown but stuck in the middle seat, stuck between a dog and the other one's your spouse. Last week, Kelly and I flew to Arizona. On the way out there, Kelly said, I need the window seat. I was like, yeah, but that means I got the middle seat. Okay? She said, yeah, but you can scoot over and lean on me. I said, dude, that's not very comfortable. I said, I love you. We can put up that little armrest, but it's just not very comfortable. So about 30 minutes into the flight, I look over and there's a dog in the lady's lap next to me. And it was just looking up at me. At first, I admit, I thought, is that dog real? And then I realized it was when it looked up at me. And honest to goodness, I thought, well, this is going to be an interesting flight. Because now if I got to go to the bathroom, now I'm going to have to climb over a lady. I got to climb over a lady and a dog. Things happen that are so much out of our control, don't they? But you know what I realize every day of my life is this. That I have to face a fact that while there's so much in my life I believe I think I can control, that so very little do I have a control of. But I realize that I have a choice to submit to the one who knows everything. And that does have a purpose and a plan, right? Amen? And that even if I'm sitting in the middle seat on a flight that's about 4 hours long, and there's a dog looking up at me, and I'm kind of wondering, if I got to go to the bathroom, how do I do this? Because this lady looks pretty comfortable. The dog looks really comfortable. I realize something. God doesn't have accidents in heaven. God doesn't have accidents in our lives. God doesn't just wing it like we do so often. That God has a love for us to say, I've got you right where I need you. I'm asking you to embrace that truth. And one of the things about that flight as we were flying, because we did it both coming and going, of course, but on the way back, I didn't have a dog next to me. In fact, God was good to me. He worked it where I had the aisle seat. I'd never been so excited to sit in the aisle before in my life. But as I was doing all this traveling with Kathy and I last weekend, or weekend before last, I was just thinking about something. Who are the people in my life that I have not embraced as part of God's plan for my life? Who in your life are the landscape people? Who are the people in your life that you just kind of float in and out of their life? Who are the people in your life that, honest to goodness, you pay a lot of money to avoid them? I didn't really expect to laugh on that part, but anyway. Who are the people in your life that if God said, that's the reason why you're on this earth, you'd be like, well, God, I don't want to be on this earth any longer. Who are the people in your life that you enjoy embracing, that you enjoy being around? We live in a culture and a time where we stretch ourselves thin with relationships with no depth. It does not impress me to ever hear somebody that says, I got these many people as friends on Facebook. Because no, they're not your friends and you're not their friend. Okay? What you do is you get to hide behind a keyboard. We live in an Instagram world. I know a lot of you here don't probably care anything about that. But basically what that means for us is this. We get to put pictures online of the way we want people to see our lives. Okay? Matter of fact, one of the funniest things is there's a guy named John Crisp. He's a Christian comedian. He does a whole little video of Christian devotions on Instagram. And what he does, he sets it up and says, he shows where a lady's doing her morning devotion, how she has her Bible and her journal and her coffee cup with some cute little Christian scripture on it and takes a picture and says, look at me. But that's not the reality. Reality is we're in the grind of life. We're in relationships. Some we enjoy, some we don't, but they're part of what God's doing in our life. And so another step we take today in following Jesus is this. Today we're looking at building relationships. Now, I would challenge you to think about this for just a second. Have you checked out on that? Seriously, have you checked out on it? You're like, I'm good. I got my relationships. I got the ones I like, I don't like, kind of the ones in between. I'm good. You're still breathing. You're still walking. I think most of you are still talking. So God is still in the building part of this. Building into you, building through you today. So this morning, as we look at the next sermon in the series of following Christ, or are you just taking a walk? We're going to look at some scriptures. We're going to look at quite a few points, but we're going to look at them kind of as a bundle. So John, go ahead and put the next one up. So are you just taking a walk, or are you following Jesus? It says in Acts 2, 42 through 47, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Who's that? The followers of Christ. And the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. They were hanging out together. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we see the fellowship of the believers, building relationships, so new. They were hanging out together publicly. They were hanging out together privately. But they were sharing things. They weren't just sharing the good times. They were sharing the bad times, the struggles, the questions. And God had his hand upon them that had them be noticed by others. So I want you to think about the what of building relationships. John, go to the next slide. We've got some more. So what is building relationships? And using that Acts passage, a little bit of a backdrop. If you notice, they all came in together. So I'm just going to kind of read them to you. What is building a relationship as you follow Christ? How about sharing life together? Praying together, being accountable to others, allowing yourself to be known. I want to ask you something. Do you have anybody in your life that really knows you? Do you have anybody in your life that can speak truth to you? Do you have anybody in your life that you allow to speak truth to you? Involving yourself in opportunities that make a difference in the community? Investing in people who are not like yourself, taking risks? Remember that little passage that we just read? They enjoyed the favor of the people. I mean, people were coming to them saying, I don't know what you have, but I am willing to check it out. I'm kind of curious. What's going on here? This is something different that's been in the past. Do you understand we live in a time and a place that craves a place to belong? Do you understand that we are in a culture that people are dying by inches every day of loneliness and feeling like this and alone? Investing in people who are not like yourself, taking a risk. Whatever that means to you. You know what's interesting is as we go through all this, and I think this applies every Sunday, I think it applies every time you're in the presence of God, is this. Where is he really poking you today? I mean, where is he really challenging you today? The status quo is not biblical. Maintaining is not found in the Bible. As Christians, as building the kingdom of God, we are moving forward. We are taking ground for the kingdom. We are the process through which we get to be part of life change in others. Are you embracing that today? Investing yourself in opportunities in this body of Christ. So we got the bigger body of Christ. We got this body of Christ. Are you investing? You notice I'm using the word invest. I'm not using the word serving today. I'm investing. Some of you have tremendous amounts of resources, spiritual gift, time, other resources. Whose kingdom are you building with them? Whose kingdom are you really building with them? What is building a relationship? Number 5 says, making wise choices so you can take advantage of opportunities. Remember what I said to you about relationships, mile wide and very thin? Many people in our culture go a million different directions making millimeters of progress. Million different directions. I'm here, I'm there, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Where are you going? I don't know. I was just going. Making wise choices so you can take advantage of opportunities. You know, God says in the book of James, if you ask for wisdom, God will give it. But then he's going to give it, and you still have a choice. You're going to use it? Are you using what God has given to you? So what is building a relationship? Think about that Acts passage, coming together publicly, house to house, and doing those things. And a variety of, you know what, if we all took time, I bet you every one of us could come up with our own list of that right now. So I'm just kind of giving the highlights. So what is building a relationship? I think it's some of those things. But now let's look at how to build a relationship. We got some scripture. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I got a question for you on verse 24. Where you go, where you hang out, who you talk to, who you spend time with, when you leave, I'm just going to move on. Are they sad to see you go or glad to see you go? I'm serious. They might be glad to see you go because you spoke truth to them. I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about they're glad to see you go because you're sucking the life out of them. Not giving up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching. Hey, you don't know when. Tomorrow might be your great getting up morning. Okay? So that might be your day approaching. Are you taking inventory of your life? For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Freedom from what? Freedom from what? He was talking to the church in Galatia. What was he talking about? How about the freedom from the punishment of death and sin? You don't have to live under shame or the oppression of evil. That you can think clearly. You can live with a passion. You can live with purpose. You don't have to be in bondage, he's saying. You don't have to give in to the lust, the lowest common denominator. You don't have to live with the addiction. That you've been set free, so therefore you can invest in somebody else. And it says in John 13:14, it says, I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You ought to wash each other's feet. That was Jesus, disciple, last communion, all that good story. That's just one excerpt from it. Servant. So John, go to the next one, please. And it says this in Luke 5:27-32. We're still looking at how to build a relationship. After this, Jesus went out, and he saw a man who gathered taxes. His name was Levi. We call him Matthew, typically. Levi was sitting at his work. Jesus said to him, follow me. Levi got up. He left everything, and he followed Jesus. How many of you wish tomorrow morning Jesus would come by and say, get up and follow me, and you got, I'm out of here. Levi made a big supper for Jesus in his house. Maybe you need to make a big supper. Many men who gathered taxes and other people sat down with them. Remember those people that you may have to take a risk on? May not be like you, like I. The teachers of the law and the proud religious law keepers, they talked against the followers of Jesus. They said, has Jesus lost his mind? What does he think he's doing? A holy man like him, a follower of Christ, a person that calls himself a Christian, is hanging out with those people? Why do you eat and drink with men who gather taxes and with sinners? Isn't that interesting? They have to distinguish. It was so bad to be a tax collector, the Pharisees had to point out, you got your sinners, then you got this other group. Those jokers are even worse. Jesus said to them, people who are well do not need a doctor, only those who are sick need a doctor. I have not come to call good people. I've come to call sinners to be sorry for their sins and turn from them. By the way, that NLV, it's a New Living Version. That's not a typo. It's a real version. John, go ahead. We're going to address this a little bit. So how do you build a relationship? Man, this right here, this should be earth-shattering. You ever heard these things before? They new to you? Question is how you doing? How am I doing? Relationships, ongoing. What is it? How is it? James barely make fun of me. Anyway. How is it? Love one another. Serve one another. Encourage one another. Forgive one another. Invest in others. Invest in others. God might be calling you to do every single one of those to somebody or to a group of somebodies that, honest to goodness, may be the opposite of who you, your family, might be. Or they might be the person that's closest to you that you've never paid any attention to. They might be a coworker, a family member. When those things challenge you with them, you're quick to make excuses and say, God, not for me right now. So how are you building relationships? Has this become optional? Has this become something that you might get around to? You know, none of you care about this, but I heard some sad news this past week. The Kroger in front of the Savannah Mall is closed. I go to Kroger. That's when I go. That's when I go. Milk's $1.50 a gallon right there right now. I'm not kidding. I was there 2 days ago. Do you know why I was sad? This is true. The first part, I was just messing with you. Second part is true. There's a lady that works at the service desk there. She is so nice. She's a follower of Christ. And I haven't seen her since I got the news, but I'm going to ask her where she's going to work. Because I want to know where she works. Because I think that's somebody that stands behind a desk that could say, all I do is, but she has said, no, I'm here for a purpose and a plan. I'm here. I might be the customer service at Kroger, but I'm the salt and the light at Kroger. People that come in here are going to know whose side I'm on. And I'm going to ask her when I see her next. I'm going to be like, which one? Are you going to get to work in another one? Because that's the one I want to go to. Because she's a different one. How to build a relationship? Love, serve, encourage, forgive, invest. And then you can add to the list. But I want you to know that most of us struggle with the one-on-one stuff.
I think sometimes we're over here praying God would send a revival. We're huddled up. We're like, God, do something in Savannah. God, do something in the White House. God, do something in this. God, go do something there. And we're like, God saying, well, you going to get out there and be part of the solution? Or are you going to stay there and be part of the problem? God, change Savannah. God, change the schools. God, change my family. God, do something. It's like, okay, I heard you the 45th time. Now I've got some action steps for you. Are you willing to wash the feet of your enemy? Are you willing to love without strings attached? Are you willing to invest when it's not convenient? Are you willing to do the dirty work? Jesus got dirty. Or are you like, am I like the Pharisees and walk in and say, what are you doing with those people? Let me tell you something. We're all those people, aren't we? He sat down for us. He was raised up for us. He lives for us. So we are those people. We're surrounded by those people because we are those people. We're just as messy as anybody that we all have in our lives. We're just as messy as the next person. But somebody sat down with us out of love, out of servant attitude to invest in us. So we got the what, we got the how. How about the why? Why would we build relationships? Are we just taking a walk? Or are we going to follow Him? Are we just going to sit? Or are we going to be part of the solution? It says in John 10:30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Remember that one? It says in 2 Corinthians 13:14, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says that. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Drawing. John 3:17, yeah. And 1 John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. Why do we build relationships? John? Why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus are relational. The Holy Trinity. There's an awesome relationship. I think I want to be a part of that relationship. I think I am part of that relationship, but I think I want to discover it a little bit more fully today so I can be a little bit more like Him tomorrow. So I can discover a little bit more about Him tomorrow so I'll be a little bit more like Him the next day. And God is a builder of relationships. That's what I've been telling us. That every one of us in this room that I know personally, I haven't told you something that you don't know. I haven't told you something you hadn't heard before probably. I haven't told you something that God hasn't been talking to you about probably in the past. And God intends for us to build relationships. Why? Because of number four. And because of what it says in 1 John. Because He first loved us. Maybe today, a starting point for you, or for I, or for we, might be, are you letting God love on you? Are you letting the love of God penetrate your heart so therefore you can love others? Or are you dealing with some inside turmoil, some upheaval, some uncertainty, some confusion? It's like, I know God loves me, but I just struggle with embracing it being a truth. I know He has relationships for me to invest in, but I'm struggling with my own insecurities. I know God wants to do more through me, but. Tomorrow never comes unless you let God do what He wants to do in your life today. Why build relationships? Because He's relational. He's a builder. He's not a condemner. He's an uplifter. In fact, it says somewhere in the book of Isaiah, it describes God with this. He's a repairer of broken walls. That means He's put Humpty Dumpty back together, and we all look in the mirror, and we might be Humpty Dumpty. In fact, we probably are some version. But God loved us first. So why do we build relationships? Because it's a privilege to be in the kingdom, to bring others into the kingdom, and to help others realize their wholeness in the kingdom. Because He's relational. So this morning, as you think about the relationships in your life, as you think about the what and the how and the why, what's God speaking to you about? What's God generating? How is God desirous? Think about this past week. Think about these past few days. Think about this your recent history. Where have there been relationships that God's been bringing you in contact with that you kind of just pushed to the side and then you thought, well, maybe, maybe not. Or are you in the culture, the mainstream of culture, which says, I'm too busy for that. I don't have time for that. That's not in my gifting. That's not who I am. Those people aren't like me. Which one of those is going to stand up before Jesus when He says, so what'd you do with what I gave you? How much does He love you? Infinitely. How much does He want to love on you? Infinitely. Reciprocate that love back this morning by saying, God, I don't understand all this, but I know it's part of being a follower of Christ, these relationships you have me in, they're more important to you than they are to me. Okay? I started out this day, you weren't in here, Kathy, I started talking about how you stuck me in the middle row of that airplane going to Arizona next to that dog. Okay? It really did aggravate me. I'll be honest with you. Okay? I'm not kidding. Okay? I can't tell you. It just irritated me when I realized that I was in that middle seat. But finally, I embraced it. Embracing what God is doing, you will never live above the circumstances because Christ died, buried, and rose again to walk through the circumstances with you. And in those circumstances, there are other people. There are other people you rub shoulders with. There's other people you come in contact with. I'm not saying you have to save the world, but I'm saying who, how, and more importantly, why is God calling you to build some of those relationships? Maybe a good starting point for you this morning, as I've already encouraged you with a few things, is simply this. God, I surrender. God, I surrender. John, if you put the last, please. Meditate on this morning as we get ready to pray. This is the David. You may have heard of him. He did a little bit. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Let God search you. Let God speak to those tender spots. Give God your anxious thoughts. and allow Him to examine your heart and your mind and your motives today. Because you and I, every day, are investing in something. Every day. You might sit at home and binge watch Netflix all day tomorrow. You still invested in something. Okay? You and I get to invest every moment of every day, either in His kingdom or in our kingdom. Gary, you can come on up. Let's pray. This is Gary. He's not running this morning. Last week you ran for Rick. Oh well. I just encourage you to take a few moments. I know you got your cards for prayer requests and praises. By the way, don't hesitate. You know, if you leave here and you didn't get a card or you didn't throw anything in the basket with the card with prayer requests, you can go to our Gmail address and Dusty and Rick and I check that regularly. So you can share prayer requests and praises through that too. That's cool. And all of you probably have our phone numbers. Because I know some of you do. I think you just like to text us to see if we read them. But you can text with prayer requests and praises with that too, okay? So the card is not a limiting thing. It's just one avenue. So, Father, we just come before You now in these next few moments. Lord, I pray that we'll do what Psalm 139 said. We'll examine ourselves before You. God, what are our anxious, worrisome thoughts? Where has the world, the flesh, and the devil tried to keep us down? God, bring to mind relationship building. God, where have we shortchanged the process in the past? God, where have we struggled to embrace the opportunities that You have given to us? God, as You just continue to speak to us now, I just worship You and just praise You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for the investment in us. Thank You for all those one another's that You do in our lives all the time. The altar is open. And Dusty and Audrey and Rick and Regina and Kathy and I will be up here if you want somebody to pray with. Go get somebody else to pray with. What's on your heart this morning? Don't leave burdened when there's people available to pray and share and walk with You in the struggle. So Lord, we put all this before You. These next few moments, you can bring your cards and your envelopes forward too if you like. In Jesus' name, amen.